A senior cleric was once asked whether he believed in angels, to which he answered, "I'm not entirely sure, but I think my wife might be one." Those who built and decorated the Lady Chapel of Westminster Abbey, in which we're standing, had no doubts about angels. The interior is garlanded with them, holding up Tudor roses and the portcullis emblem of the Palace of Westminster. And we're not limited to 16th century angels either. In the window of the Royal Air Force Chapel ahead of me, some 20th century examples reach for the skies in the window that commemorates the squadrons of the Battle of Britain. They are blonde and fierce looking, as if they are chanting the RAF motto, Per ardua ad astra, through adversity to the stars. They point to the heavens, to the heaven beyond the reach of even the most daring fighter pilot, the heaven that gives Earth its meaning and its hope through even the darkest of struggles. Angels are messengers. They point to God and tell of his purposes, which is why we find them all around the birth of Jesus and all around his death too. They sit in his empty tomb to point the disciples outwards, onwards, to where they will find God's purposes in Christ, ongoing, victorious, even over the grave. Angels are true messengers because they are true worshippers. The unceasing worship of the angels is what we are encouraged to aspire to. It's why they hover all around the Lady Chapel. They remind us that heaven is not so remote after all, but a fellowship into which we are welcomed whenever we offer prayer and praise, whenever we tune in to their joy. We don't have to see angels to believe in what they do. They point us onwards to God and to his purposes for us. His desire that through whatever adversity, in Christ, we might share the unending worship and joy of heaven. Let us pray. Everlasting God, you have ordained and constituted the ministries of angels and mortals in a wonderful order. Grant that as your holy angels always serve you in heaven, so at your command they may help and defend us on earth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel according to John. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Thanks be to God.
10 years ago, I visited New York for the first and so far only time in my life. I finally had my chance to go to the Met, the Metropolitan Museum of Art. This, though, was a family holiday, and my endlessly patient children were coming too. It was important to move fast, a highlights tour. I was younger then, I could canter, so canter I did. I was brought to a sudden stop, though, before two glorious pictures I did not know and which were not on my list. The angel Gabriel and the Virgin hanging high on the wall, two panels from Gerard David's Chavara altarpiece. This particular Virgin is a study in deep blue stillness. Physically, she kneels in prayer, yet she's clearly utterly elsewhere, suspended in some middle distance. The angel is in a different frame, and he is urgent and on the move. A glorious cloak billows and blows around him. The moving air lifts his flowing hair. This creature from the light is robed in pale blue and has a royal scepter, the symbol of his commission. Worlds collide in these two pictures. She is there in that moment, and yet she's also elsewhere. He, meanwhile, comes from somewhere other and again. He has an embassy. As you've heard, we're in the Abbey's Lady Chapel, The angels here are carved in stone. They are statues still. And these are guardian angels, attendant on a king. There are crowns and swords. They're splendid, but they're going nowhere. The heavenly and earthly realms in stiff unison. Gerard David, like St. John, wants us to reflect upon a different truth. He wants us thinking on the difference between here and there, on the space that's set between them, and on the angels and the prayers that can cross that space, those angels that can ascend and descend, here and there, above and below, otherness. Right at the heart of what we believe is Jesus Christ, the man whom Nathanael saw walk towards him, the very man whom Nathanael acknowledged, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God." St. John's Gospel wants us to know whether or not we've seen, really seen, that God has come amongst us and can be apprehended here. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son. This incarnation, this presence of God amongst us, this is the Gospel, the Word we've been given so that we can speak about God, the Word put into our hands in the Eucharist, the same Word made flesh, blazing out in the darkness at noon on Golgotha and saying, "It is accomplished." Never doubt it, God here amongst us. Yet hear too the words of Jesus himself. "You will see greater things than these. Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Nathanael saw Jesus and believed. He saw him and named him, "You are the Son of God." Nathanael knows the good news and proclaims it. Yet Nathanael does not really know what it is he thinks he knows. He's not begun to understand. Jesus chides him gently for this eager faith that rests on such a slight foundation. "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." It will be the ministry of angels that will help Nathanael understand that God himself crossed his path that day and was seen on earth. Help him acknowledge that he did indeed see that, and yet he had still to see the glory of God in the heavens. And that's where the angels come in. These ministers of light who move between here and there, these angels who know this glory and that other greater glory, these beings who are the embassy of God. That's the glory we do not see and that Nathanael does not know. The Gospel is God's presence, God's saving presence. We know that. And yet we barely know anything because we do not know the glory that is to come, the glory that is God, the glory still to be revealed. We know only that Nathanael was promised angels ascending and descending. It's Michaelmas, the feast of St. Michael, the captain of the host of heaven and of all angels. We have to speak of angels today, but it's so easy to talk nonsense. Angels precisely are those of whom we cannot speak. David's Virgin hanging high and serene in the Met doesn't even look. She, above all others, will know the presence of God. But even she knows that there is another glory and that it is apart and other. As the sad story of the pandemic that we now live with takes another sorry turn, we all think about isolation, about being set apart. We know what it is to be here and not there. We really can measure distance these days with a renewed certainty of how far we need to go and how long that can take. We must live with this, live in this place, and try to be resolute, remembering that God himself is here, known and named. Even now approaching us, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God." Then we must remember that there is a glory yet to come, a glory that is company and consolation in the host of heaven, where there is never separation, and love leaps like a spark in each and every distance. As we live in this space, in these difficult days, we trust in that space and in the eternal ministry of angels, forever ascending and descending.
The anthem is Plebs Angelica, a modern Latin text exhorting the archangels in particular to guide us into the company of the redeemed, into paradise. It is set to music by Sir Michael Tippett and sung here by the Abbey Choir. Let us pray. Blessing and honour and thanksgiving and praise, more than we can utter, more than we can conceive, be unto thee, O holy and glorious Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, by all angels, all people, and all creatures, for ever and ever. Amen. Let us pray that we may be assisted by the angels to glimpse God's glory now and know his presence in Christ even in places we would rather not be. Let us pray for those who face isolation, those frustrated by restrictions on their lives, those fearful for their futures. And let us pray for angelic assurance of the glory to which we are called, which we cannot see and cannot yet fully know. Visit our homes, O Lord, we pray, and drive far from them all the snares of the enemy. Let thy holy angels dwell with us to preserve us in peace, and may thy blessing be upon us evermore, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray in the words our Saviour, the King of the Angels, taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And let us bow our heads and pray for God's blessing. God keep you in the fellowship of his saints. Christ protect you by the ministry of his angels. And the Spirit make you holy in God's service. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.